In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Be seated. As we read the gospel text for today, John appears in the Jordanian wilderness, we're told, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when his voice was heard crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord." The word of God came to John, we're told, the son of Zechariah. And when that all happens, it was an end of 400 years of silence. Silence. 400 years before the Lord had spoken through the prophet Malachi, the last of the prophets of Israel, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me." And then, silence. Nothing more from God for 400 years. Can you imagine? Crying out, not a word. There was history in the meantime between today's text. Israel is passed around like a football between the Persians and the Greeks and now to the Romans. There's the Maccabean uprising, the reclamation of the temple celebrated at Hanukkah. God takes care of his people, his nation through it all. He keeps his promise, but he does it in silence, no speaking. In a way, it seemed as if time had run out for Israel. The nation was under Roman control. They'd been divided into four separate parts. We hear about that talked about in the text as well. Pontius Pilate rules over Judea and Jerusalem. Herod, he takes over the northern country up in Galilee. His brother Philip had the regions of Iturea and Trachonitis. Lysanias ruled over the region of Abilene. Hardly the glory of Solomon when they were all as one great kingdom. Israel is, at this point, a vassal state of Rome under the rule of Tiberius Caesar. And the priesthood, well, it's in shambles, too. Records have been lost, family lines obscured. Who are the sons of Aaron? The priesthood, the appointed positions, become a political position shared by Annas and Caiaphas. And if you're an Israelite at that time, you might have concluded, if you look at the mess of your whole country, that God had forgotten you. And then comes a voice, not from the temple, where you'd expect it, not from Jerusalem at all, but from where? Out in the wilderness, literally, out of nowhere. A strange figure appears on the Jordan, the place where Israel first entered the promised land, the place where the waters parted. And there comes this one with a voice, a prophet. John appears. He sounds like a prophet. He looks like a prophet. And he cries out in a loud voice, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his way straight." He comes preaching and baptizing, something new, a washing of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. In the Old Testament, sins were dealt with by blood sacrifice, the animal's life in place of your own. But John calls the people to something new and wonderful, not the blood of sacrifice, but a washing of repentance, of forgiveness. He comes to prepare the way for Jesus, the coming Messiah. His message, it could be summed up in one word, and it's not the most popular of words. What's the word? Repent. Change your mind. Change the way you think about things. Change your notion about who God is and who you are. Repent of your sins. Disown them. Wash them away. Be changed. Repent of any notion that you can atone for your own sins. Even the temple sacrifices couldn't take away sin. Repent of your religion. All the ways you try to bribe God and obligate him to you as if he owes you something because of how good you've been. Crowds, they flock to John. He's kind of an interesting character. He looks funny. He eats funny things. He's a novelty. We love novelties, don't we? We always flock to novelties, the things that look different and are exciting and new. And yet, The people who went out to see him, they hardly got a warm, fuzzy welcome, did they? What does he say? You brood of vipers. How would you like that to be the way you're met? You bunch of snakes. Who warned you to flee the wrath of God that's coming? Hardly a smiling preacher that we might expect. I dare say they wondered, what kind of thing is this? Is it a new religion? Not very good way to deal with people, is it? Think about it. If that's the way your pastors came to you, they show up on the scene, and the first thing they do is start yelling at you. You brood of vipers, you're a lousy congregation. Look at what you're doing. Churches probably wouldn't put up with it. The elders say, I think we got a problem, Houston. Bureaucracies wouldn't put up with them. Voters' assemblies would vote to get rid of you as soon as possible. Institutions would find a way to shut you up, ship you out. It's a hard message. We don't like to hear what John has to say. Repentance talks. It's kind of a downer. We don't like to be reminded that we're sinners. We'd rather hear the glorious message. You are wonderful, glorious children of God. That's true too. And they might say, you're scaring the children with that kind of talk. What does John say? Leave your credentials at the door. I don't really care how much you like me or don't. Don't talk to me about everything you've accomplished, and don't flash your son of Abraham card at me as if you get some special entrance because of that. Because frankly, he says, God can raise up children of Abraham from what? From the stones here. So are you better than a stone? No. And that goes for us too. You don't get to say, well, I've been a Lutheran my whole life, as if that's supposed to impress him. Or, I gave my heart to Jesus when I was at camp in eighth grade. Great, thank you. Anything that you would do to justify yourself as if you have some religious cookie to offer him. Credentials, they get you nowhere. Look at what you've done. What does he say? Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. The axe is already laid at the root. So what do you got in your life? Any fruit that's not so hot? When people ask John what they were supposed to do, well, John's quick to tell him, share your food and your clothes with those in need. Do your vocation honestly. Tax collectors, don't collect more than you're authorized to take. Soldiers, don't use your power to extort money out of people. Be content with your wages. He'd say the same to us. Tend to your own vocation and your responsibilities. Quit whining. Stop taking advantage of the weak. Care about others as much as you care about yourself. Be content. Share. And don't think for a moment that you've done enough and that there isn't more to be done out there. There's always plenty more to be done. Do the goodness and mercy of God to those around you who are in need. And don't you dare hold up one good work that you've done as if God should be impressed. If you do it to get praise, is it really praiseworthy? John comes in like a bulldozer, not lightly, filling valleys, leveling mountains, straightening the crooked ways, building a highway to God. The Savior's coming, and we're going to make it a fast, even road so he can come right to your heart, and he has to level you a little bit by showing you your sin and bringing you to repentance. He's a forerunner, though, a preparer, a warm-up act. He is the law personified. If you want to know what the law looks like, here's what he looks like. If you're looking for comfort, if you're looking for mercy, if you're looking for forgiveness, you really maybe came to the wrong place. John is there to look you square in the eye, call you a snake who deserves to be crushed. John is the law to Jesus' gospel. With John, the axe is already laid at the root. With Jesus, the axe falls on him. With John, every tree that doesn't bear good fruit is thrown in the fire. With Jesus, the bad tree of the cross becomes the good tree of salvation for you and me. The fire of God's wrath becomes his burning passion to save, and the good fruit that he bears becomes ours by imputation. With John, you get commands and you get threats and you get punishment. That's how the law works. It heaps up demands on you and threatens you with an axe that says, if you don't shape up, it's like the posters I saw a billboard with, don't make me come down there, Jesus. And I go, painful law. With Jesus, you get something different than that, don't you? Instead of the axe is ready to chop you, he says, come to me, all you who are weak and burdened, and I will give you rest. With Jesus, it's not about your doing. It's about his doing. It's not about your repentance, but about his becoming sin for you, about him exchanging your sin for his righteousness, about his dying and rising in order to save you from the wrath that comes to give you glory. There is a day of wrath. Don't be deceived. Many would forget that. The coming wrath. The scriptures are clear about the destruction and the wrath of God that will come upon us in the end for all who are not in Christ Jesus. Every valley will eventually be filled. Every mountain will be laid low. Every crooked path will be straightened. Every rough place will be made smooth. God's law will have its way with sinners. There is but one way to escape it. The axe laid at the root, the unquenchable fire reserved for fruitless trees, and we're told to hide. And where do you hide? Not under a rock. That won't do you any good. Not under your good works. That won't cut it. We hide in Jesus, sheltered in his death through baptism into his death, buried with him in his death where the law has nothing to say. And so we cling to Christ, not our works, not our repentance, not our religious deeds. We cling to Christ. Christ. Repent. That's the word. Recognize that you're nothing and you have nothing to offer God. But in Christ, he has given you everything. He is your righteousness. He is your strength. He is your healing. He is your shelter. The fire consumed him so that you may rejoice eternally. John would later say when Jesus comes, behold, everyone, wake up, look, there he is, the Lamb of God who does what? Takes away the sin of the world. Repent. It's a good word, not a bad word. It doesn't mean that you need to try harder. No, that's not it. It means you're a sinner and you need to die and rise in Jesus because that's our only place of hope. Repentance is God's work in you, paving, bulldozing, rebuilding, bringing you to himself. It's an Advent word, repent. It's how God prepares his people to welcome him. And so we do. We repent and we look forward to say, come, come, Lord Jesus. We long to greet you, O heavenly guest. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to rise as we sing the offertory together.